Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. I'm joined as I am every Monday through Friday by my best friend.
Positive, kind of positive Chuck Mockler.
Yeah, it's a little grim. We're gonna try to do our best to keep it positive. But you're listening to Locked On Clippers, in case you didn't know, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers content you can handle, and some you can't. Today we've got a heck of a show lined up for you. We're going to start with a recap of the horrifying loss against the Wizards last night. Truly
bad.
Totally unfortunate. Exploited some very real flaws. Wednesday is normally our What Could Have Been or Parallel Universe segment. Today we're going to be changing it up a little bit, and we're going to kind of address the elephant in the room, which is LA's top-tier talent issue.
Absolutely.
Time to talk about it. It's kind of a factor last night.
Definitely.
See what we think and where we think we can go. And then we're going to wrap up with some general NBA stuff. So stick around for all that coming up in just a sec. But first, Charles, why don't you tell these good people where they could find a car?
Well, if you're looking for a car, you need to go to Metro Infinity.
Where is it?
It's at 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia.
Is that just off the 210 in Monrovia?
Right off the 210 in Monrovia. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and has been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, and probably yours too, you are a terrible recluse. If you don't like going to the dealership, that's not an issue. They'll bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction. If you mention Locked On, tell them Chuck and Will sent you. They'll give you another $500 off any car purchase.
You don't even have to say that Chuck and Will sent you. You just say Locked On.
Just say Locked On. If you're thinking about a new car, or even in the market for any new car, especially an Infiniti, give them a chance to earn your business. You won't regret it. They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or MetroInfinity.com. Right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with Navi for $1,000 down at $325 a month. Plus tax. That's it. $1,000 down, a low monthly payment. Plus, mention Locked On, you get $500 off.
That's sick.
All right, so let's go. Okay, so the Clippers lost 125-118 to the Wizards, a team that, I don't know, fist fights for practice and probably doesn't sit together when they eat team meals. We'll get some stats out of the way. Tobias had 29. Trez had 20, Shea and Lou each had 17. Gallo was just straight up still clearly sick and went 0-for-8. He had 3 points from the free throw line. This was literally the worst blown lead in Clippers history.
It was. Should we start with some good stuff?
Yeah, let's start with some good stuff.
We're gonna start with some. We're gonna start with some positives because I just feel like it's overwhelmingly negative.
The positives. First quarter.
Positives. First quarter, Shea, really solid game.
Yes.
17 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals.
He played great.
Call that a classic 17-3-3.
Classic. yeah, that was good. I mean, Tobias was super on fire in the first. He had, what, I think 18, maybe 20 in the first.
Yeah.
A little disheartening. He only ended with 29, but we're staying on the positive stuff right now.
Yeah, I think he scored. We're staying on positive.
Gortat had his best first quarter, despite being blocked 3 times somehow in the first quarter, which made absolutely no sense.
Still pretty efficient, 57% from the field, 9 points.
Yeah.
7 boards.
What other positives do you have?
Mike Scott, man. I thought Mike Scott played great. Went 75% from three.
Yeah.
I think that He only played like 13 minutes. I think he could have played more. I'm ready for more Scott.
Yeah, I for sure am ready for more Scott too.
We're not going to be doing Thirsty Thursday tomorrow, so I'm just going to say it up front. Thirsty for him. thirsty for some Scott.
Scott. Yeah, he was playing really good. I thought he was going to maybe kick it into gear or something like that.
I thought he was a difference maker. I thought he was definitely good.
What else is in your good category from this game?
Oh man, Patrick Beverley had his best shooting percentages of the season. I think he went 40% from the field and 50% from three.
Great, that's awesome.
For a finish of 6 points.
Woo! Hot six, a hot six as we call it.
What else? I mean, the Clippers play early on was really encouraging.
It was great. I think they only had 5 turnovers in the first half, which is not bad. We ended with 19.
Yeah.
Or maybe 17, excuse me.
We outscored them 40-21 in the first, went even in the second quarter, which I think that's where the decline kind of started.
Yeah.
So I guess bookending off of that, let's go ahead and let's rip this Band-Aid off and jump into the bad.
Yeah, the bad was, everything pretty much after the second. Like, this isn't a time to panic loss. I don't want that to be a thing.
No. We're not completely abandoning ship here.
But you're right what you said in the intro. It really exposed what we need.
Yeah,
which definitely. Is a closer. Tobias, like we said, was super aggressive early, which was awesome. But then just kind of chilled during the stretch.
Here's the problem, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about the need for some maybe kind of top-tier kind of guys. The problem is I think Tobias really shut down when the defense started double-teaming him.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to get through physically. I mean, and I think physically he could have even gotten through had he pushed a little bit, but mentally it broke him down. I've never seen him so frustrated on the court. And, you know, this was something that was echoed by Lou Will. I do think that there was some issues, according to our guys, about some of the reffing stuff.
Yeah, Lou Will, who got ejected for the first time in his career, I think.
Yeah, it is the first time in his career. And it did seem like guys were taking a lot of contact and stuff. I don't know. I don't want to comment on intangibles just because, like,
yeah.
That's stuff that's out of your control. Stuff that is in your control, I think, is, like, better playmaking.
Mm-hmm.
The ball got so stagnant in that second half.
Yep.
You would see there was a possession that I think was the epitome of the second half for me, where Patrick Beverley took his sweet-ass time taking the ball down. There was 15 seconds left on the shot clock by the time he got across the halfway point. And then he stood at the top of the key, dribbled. 6 seconds left on the clock. He passes to Lou Will, also outside on the key with two defenders on him. And Lou Will has to throw up a last-second crazy shot.
Yeah.
You're not going to win with possessions like that. And we're that, to me, is like the epitome of what happened the second half of the game. I don't know if it was tentativeness. I don't know if the defense was not that good.
Yeah, I mean,
their defense was not that good. Their defense was such a net negative. At one point, I was watching a game, and I happened to be listening to the Wizards home announcers because that was the illegal stream that I could get. And they were praising the Wizards defense when the Clippers were taking threes at the top of the shot clock without looking for a pass. So, like, when they were giving up the ball, they were like, man, look at that great Wizards
defense. It's not Wizards D. That's not us being bad.
That's terrible play, like, playmaking.
Yeah, the offense looked exactly like it did in that Thunder game, where it was just guys who were – it was working so well. And then because of, I guess, defensive adjustments or something like that, it was not good. Our defense, our backcourt defense was awful.
It was really bad.
Beal and Wall, two fantastic players. Yeah. Better than maybe anyone on the Clippers team.
I would say both, yes.
Beal had 27, Wall had 30, Jeff Green had 20. Otto Porter, who averages 5 rebounds a game, had 14 boards in this game.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable.
Yeah, I don't... Is he even in the starting lineup anymore?
No, they switched some stuff around because they all hate each other.
Yeah. I think it was Keith... I want to say, no, it wasn't Keith. It was Oubre in the forward position. Maybe it was next to
Porter. Yeah, but it was just like 14 boards for him is insane. Our pick and roll defense, we talked about this on the podcast about how Gortat can't defend lobs in the pick and roll, and the Wizards, literally, their first points was a dunk off of a pick and roll.
Yeah.
Because Gortat cannot defend it. We don't know, like, our we're not Clamp City.
Yeah, no, we're not at all.
We're not even close.
In the third and the start of the fourth, there was, like, they kept running this same backdoor cut to Bradley
Beal. And it worked every time.
And every single time it worked, we were unable to make the defensive adjustment.
It's just like, I mean, this was the worst loss of any team so far in the NBA, I would say.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley had 4 points in 31 minutes of play, which led all guards.
Wow.
He led guards in play. Why? He wasn't playing good defense.
Yeah.
He can't produce anything on offense.
No.
He's like, Doc seems to be like thrusting these guys back in after injury or something like that. Gallo was still sick.
I think that was not a great call.
The Gallo play?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, dude, he was over 8.
Has he
ever gone over 8 in his life?
I was watching the pregame, like, when guys were coming into the tunnel, and he looked freaking sick. He had a beanie halfway on his head.
Dude, you're sick if you have a beanie halfway on your head. That is a sick move. Like, that's not... Our three situation was really baffling. We took 27 to their 39. We did shoot 40% from three, but we still lost by 7.
The turnover situation
Turnovers were awful.
Inexcusable.
12 in the second half.
So many of these were just those, like, that. So that play where I thought that Trez got injured, where he and Wall went up in the air for the ball, and he had his legs taken out by Wall. That was
Seemed inadvertent.
It did seem inadvertent. That was the worst effing pass. There was no reason to do that.
Yeah.
There was no reason to whip the ball like all the way across the court.
Yeah, that's like the new hotness pass in the NBA too, is like the cross court like heave. It only works if you're a really great spacing offense, which we're not right now. When we were playing like that, we weren't at all.
Can I tell you what I think Scott Brooks' adjustment was at the at halftime?
Sure.
I think that he told his team three things. A, unnecessary physical conduct. Every time, like right after Ty Wall and Bradley Beal had the collision, they went on a hot streak. Right after John Wall took the legs out of Trez, they went on a hot streak. I think his other plan was miss a lot of threes to falsely lure them into a sense of security, because they clanked so many threes. There was one possession in the third where they got three second chance opportunities.
Yeah.
Missed every single three.
Jesus.
John heated up towards the end.
Yeah, he led the team in threes. Which is something that in the pregame we were like, yeah, take all the threes you want, John Wall. We're idiots.
And then the last key was just, it doesn't matter if this entire team hates each other and is trash as long as Beal and Wall play well.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what worked. They coalesced. I said it was maybe happen, and it did. You spoke on Ty Wallace. Really hope his head is okay. They were both bleeding after that collision. That was one of the more brutal collisions I've seen on a basketball court.
I thought the way, like, just from the speed and the way that Ty's neck got hit, I thought we were looking at, like, a vertebrae injury or something. I thought it was going to be bad.
That'd be terrible. We hope he can recover. Yeah, all in all, a really disappointing game. Plus side, we're 11-6.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But this was we're going to get into deeper.
It just feels so hard. And like I'm sorry to the listeners. Like I want to have so much optimism for this team. I hope you guys listen to this podcast right here and you know how much I love this team. It was just like we got exposed. It was just like a reality check or a comeback down to
earth. Absolutely, which was going to happen. You know, it was a road trip. We did win 2 out of 3, which is good. But it's not good to lose a game when you're up 20 points.
No.
That's been our game recap. After this, Adam Tribes, we're going to get into some Clippers culture talk, a little bit of an Arrow universe, kind of. So, this is something you wanted to bring up, which I agree with. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we got to talk about the elephant in the room.
So, the team, granted, we do not have a quote-unquote all-star or a star.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good guys.
Got a lot of great guys.
We're very good.
Nobody who is or will be on an all-NBA team.
Agreed. And there's this mentality that we maybe don't need a true star.
And I bought in on this.
I bought into until you get to a game like this where it's like, oh man, like this, we need that guy we can rely on.
Yeah.
It's nice.
When you have a star who's like not even the best point guard in the league.
Yeah. Like,
not even top five, probably.
It's a thing where it's like, it's nice that any one guy can go off, but it's also great to have that one guy who can bail you out.
Yeah, and
all the time. Totally, not just some of the time.
Totally. And I like Lou as part of a clutch closer.
Absolutely.
I love Lou. If you want to be a great team, he's got to be your number two guy as the closer.
I think Tobias has to be the number two guy, too.
I'm saying just in closeout situations.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Overall, yeah, Tobias is like your two.
Yeah, he's like a 1B.
Yeah.
Last night kind of showed why he still has some work to do. We're not those people who are saying he's never going to be a 1A, because he absolutely can be a 1A.
Yeah,
but
it's
there's just
still
some,
not there yet.
Some aggressiveness. There's some instinct stuff where it's like, you got to grab this game by the throat. If you're in that, I hate this term, that elite tier or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to be able to grab games by the throat like this.
Yeah, you
and
can't
not
go
lose.
You can't go for 2 points in the fourth.
Yes, exactly. So it is a big deal, and this game did expose a lot of the flaws that will get exposed against a lot better teams.
Yeah.
This Wizards team is now 7-11. Yeah. Like,
any... And it was on a... We broke their, like, I think 7-game losing streak.
Any playoff...
Oh, no, maybe it was just two.
Any playoff matchup, we're playing a better team than the Wizards.
Yeah.
If we're probably going to be...
100%.
So we're probably... Right now, a 6 seed.
I think that is optimistic.
Think we're 8?
Yeah.
Fighting for 8 or 8?
8.
Okay.
I think that we're in contention. Like, we could fight for the 6. I think we get, like, best case scenario.
Yeah, we can fight for it.
We're
okay.
Fighting to get into the 6. I don't think that's a gimme, though.
Sure.
Is that what you were saying?
No, not at all. I was saying I don't know if it's a gimme. I think we're the 7th seed, and I think we can fight for the 6.
Okay.
I should say.
I think we're the 8th seed and we can fight for the 6th.
Yeah. We had been playing above expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which... We had also had the benefit of rest against a couple of harder teams.
Yeah.
We were on back-to-backs.
Yeah.
We had rest. They were missing players.
But even against the Hawks. We almost lost to the Hawks.
Yeah.
Like, we had to battle back against the Hawks.
And the Hawks, like, I don't want to bag on the Hawks. They have a lot of really good guys. Torian Prince.
Absolutely. My guy, Alex Len. Future yeah. Clipper great. But this game, I mean, it also maybe exposed Avery Bradley shouldn't play that meaningful of minutes.
Yeah.
If he can't guard Beal or Wall, who's he going to guard?
Yeah. So I guess, I mean.
Or
I just
do.
I just want to try to round this back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, we're getting off tangent here. But, team full of solid guys. Best bench in the league.
100%.
Arguably.
Absolutely.
Starters. Bunch of great guys. Not quite there yet.
B minuses.
Yeah. I'd say it's like 5 sevens.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I still don't think, like...
A lot of teams don't have that.
A lot of teams don't have that, but I honestly don't think that is the same as a lineup with a 10 mixed with a bunch of 3 and 4s.
I can see what you're saying. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, the math, like, I feel like in NBA rosters, like, 1 and 1 and 1 isn't always 3.
Yeah, you for sure. I mean? Definitely.
It was just troubling, I guess, watching the game last night, how quickly two players like Beal and Wall could swing the momentum.
Immediately.
And, you know, we knew that they were going to be a great backcourt. Right?
Yeah.
Unquestionably.
For sure.
We knew that our defense was going to be tested, as it has been over the last, what,
seven game
stretch?
We have the 20... After last night, we probably have the 20... I know it was 28th going into the game.
We're probably
and the last six. We're probably 29th or 30th right now. The antithesis of what the team preached in the beginning of the year.
Yeah. So I think that that's not working for us.
Agreed.
And I think instead of trying to make this, like, fit this circle peg into a square hole,
mm-hmm.
we need to build on something that the team is already good at, which, I mean, we have, like, a 7th or 8th rated offense.
Yeah.
I think we should
run and gun.
Roll with that.
Yeah, let's just run it out.
So if we're talking strictly about, adding top-tier talent as being the thing that this team actually needs, what do you think the reality is for that? Like, do you think that this is something we should try this season? Do you think it's even worth it? Or do you want to wait until free agency 2019?
I personally want to wait until free agency 2019. I think it's good to show guys like Durant or AD what the team can do without them.
100%.
And a full-on just like, oh, they're really trying to win games? They're figuring out... Because we're still figuring out the identity, too.
Yeah.
We need to maybe shift from Clamp City.
Yeah.
And
we've already thrown that away. It's big knife, little knife all day, baby.
Big knife, little knife, baby. But yeah, I think we need to show those guys what we can do without them for the whole season.
Yeah.
To see what it really congeals as. And then I'm also always weary of the like, oh yeah, I'll for sure sign with you guys after this half year. I'm always weary of that deal.
Oh, the
wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah, I'll sign with you guys after this. But that would be mine. I still think Durant should be our top target.
I agree. I don't think that it's worth trying to make anything happen mid-season unless it's a deal that revolves around three guards being Beverly, Bradley, and Milos for, I mean, you know, once again, we're not getting top tier NBA talent for that.
Absolutely. So I we don't really have any viable picks to deal because our team is kind of on the rise. So other GMs are like, well, why would I want this pick if it's going to be?
I mean, unless you throw a buttload of picks, people will take.
What's a buttload?
I don't know. Four future firsts.
Four future firsts. Yeah. We'll trade three guards, four future firsts for AD.
I'd take it.
Yeah, I would too.
Even if he doesn't agree to re-sign here.
But yeah, I think it's important to show those other guys what we can do. We need a player like Durant. We need kind of a dickhead all-star.
And there's so many great pieces that I don't think it's worth giving up anything.
No,
I think
if we can't give up Trez. We can't give up Tobias. We can't give up Lou. We can't give up Shea. We talked about this a little bit before. We're in that weird position where it's like, okay, so if we lose two guys, that really kind of screws us over.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, you know, especially at the forward position, we're weirdly thin. The center position, our best player is 6'9". So it's like, we can only really lose guards right now unless...
Are you talking in terms of a trade?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. In terms of a trade. So unless we do some weird jump, or like we trade these guards for a team that has a great power forward that doesn't need him anymore, something like that, like... It doesn't seem like it fits right now. Like, any trade seems like it would be a weird, not desperation, but it just wouldn't work out.
Yeah. What about this?
Okay.
Lou Will.
Okay.
Milos.
Yeah.
Tobias.
Okay.
Avery Bradley.
This is a lot so far.
Devin Booker.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, of course I'd take that. That'd be great. Devin and Shea? No, never would happen.
So we're in agreement. Probably not going to see anything happen during this season, which I think is fine.
Which is good.
I think that it's best to, if we want to appeal to these free agents, show how many good pieces we have.
And how well Doc can still figure out coaching.
Totally. So definitely both in agreement at that. I guess the next question is, before we get into possible free agents or... what is the position that you'd like to see fortified? Like, what do you think is going to most change this team?
Either center or, weirdly, the backcourt.
It's so weird that we have so many freaking guards, and I still feel like our backcourt isn't strong enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm just like, okay, this is weird. We have a bunch of, like, fine guys. Shea's fantastic.
Yeah.
Not.
He needs another guy, though.
Absolutely. And he's a rookie, so it's like, it's good, but... I think we all got a little gassed up, for sure.
I actually think, and maybe it's just from watching him play last night, that like Bradley Beal would be an excellent addition to this backcourt.
Yeah, he would. He'd be tight.
I think Shea and Beal would be a great.
Yeah,
would be a great.
Shea and the Bees, dude. Shea and the Bees would be awesome. But yeah, I think you're probably in agreement. Center and like, cause center's weird. I love Trez, but imagine how good Trez would be at like the four with like a center who could stretch the floor and shoot.
Yeah, they did play a little bit of Trez and Boban, I believe, last night. It wasn't super effective.
Yeah, no one really was after a certain point.
No, but so, yeah, I think I'd like to see, the position I most want to see is someone fill that two guard. I want somebody with a little bit more experience, ideally not 30 or older, you know what I mean?
Yeah, keep
ideally,
the team
like,
young.
On this side young of, like, meat. Yeah, of like, you know. Hopefully 4 or 5 competitive years at their peak.
Definitely.
Left in them. But I want it to be a compliment to Shea more so than anything. I think at our starting position, our forwards are both really pretty solid.
Yeah.
Barring any sort of injury, which, you know, could happen.
And Mike Scott's been great.
And Mike Scott's been really great. I just think that we're missing, like, that alpha guard that can really quickly flip a game.
Yeah, you want a guy who's listened to Joe Rogan podcast, taking alpha brains,
yes,
has a bunch of weird knives.
I want a guy who will play with the third stringers and say that two of your leading guys
suck.
Aren't
you suck.
No, I don't want that, but I think that that's what's going to most help this team.
For sure.
I don't see a center...
other than like AD...
other than...
who's a transcendent talent.
Other than like one of those transcendent talents. Am I adding extra souls? I don't know, man. I got lost brain.
Yeah, we got a fuzzy brain for all the losses.
Unless they're like a truly top-tier talent, I don't see that being the position to be able to like really flip things, especially in situations like last night.
For sure. It was tough to watch last night. We learned some things. We're going to grow. that's been our Clippers culture talk / Arrow universe situation.
Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, hit us up.
What do you guys think about is the elephant in the room real? Like, do we need an all-star on this team?
Is the elephant real? Man, what a title. Coming up after this, we're going to do a quick NBA wrap-up. But first, guys, if you follow any of the Locked On Podcast Network shows, you need to follow Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything for you, gives you some great stuff during games. There's some cool highlights, some little snippets. On Instagram stories, you can get some longer feeds and stuff like that. So check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So we got a quick NBA wrap-up for you guys. The Blazers beat the Knicks 118-114. CJ McCollum and Lillard combined for 60 points. What were they playing us? Nurk had 13-11. Myers Leonard, 15 from the bench. Tim Hardaway Jr. led all scorers with 32.
Way to go.
Yeah, Trey Burke
Hardy
was...
Hardy boy.
Trey Burke was the Knicks' leading scorer with 19 off the bench. Noah Vonleh did his best with 14-14. Blazers get to 12-5, looking really good.
Yeah, I think this is still one of those things where the Blazers, to me, are like the Raptors. Like, you can have the greatest season of all time.
Don't matter.
They could win 70 games, and I'd still be like, yeah, all right, well, let's see how it goes in the playoffs.
The Nets doused the Heat, 104-92. All right. D'Angelo Russell helped his team to cause with 29-6 with 4 steals.
Okay.
It's a pretty tight stat line.
All right. Man, Russell has been playing really solid lately. I'm happy for him.
Maybe a trade target for William Updike's backcourt?
Nah, he's not there.
All right. Spencer Dinwiddie had 16 off the bench and a cool pair of shoes with a tribute to D-Wade. 6 players in double figures for the Nets. Hassan Whiteside had 21 points and 23 rebounds.
Oh, wow.
How good would he be on a team that cared?
Yeah, how good would he be if he cared?
Very good point. The Heat should probably just tank, right?
Totally. I want to circle back to the Spencer Dinwiddie tribute shoes to D-Wade.
Yeah.
And this falls under my category of cool or condescending.
Seemed a little patronizing.
Cool or condescending.
A little condescending. I think D-Wade played like 10 minutes in
this
game,
I think it's kind of condescending.
You want to do this one? Last one?
Sure. So the Raptors eked out a win against the Magic, 93-91. Not a great game for the Raps.
No, not a fun basketball game for anybody.
The Magic are weirdly like...
good?
I want to call them like a slump buster or something.
They are a slump buster. Dude, they're a get your head right team. Or get your mind right team.
But they'll like... But the opposite of that, because you can have like a pretty good streak and then you have a road stretch where you play the Magic and they somehow beat you.
Yeah, Fournier had 27 points. Vucevic had 14 and 18. It's a bunch of goofy players who like playing together, so it like works.
Yeah.
Aaron, not as strong as Gallo Gordon.
Not as strong?
I love that take. That's probably the hottest take we've had on this show, I think.
It's spicy.
Is that Aaron Gordon is not as strong as Gallinari. Guys, that wraps it up for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching the game last night, if you did.
Yeah, sorry that today was a little bit of a bummer, guys.
No episode for you guys tomorrow. We hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Give thanks to those people you love and the Clippers. I'm going to be out of town on Friday, so Will might do an episode.
Yeah, we'll see how I'm feeling.
We'll be back in full force on Monday to recap the Memphis and Portland games. Hopefully those are a couple of fat dubs, as we like to say. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening, guys.